Good morning and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. If you do not know, I'm Reverend Jennifer Speer and we are part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad you've come here to join us this morning, to spend your morning here and to spend your morning with each other. And if you are new to us today, from the very bottom of our hearts to yours, we're so glad that you joined us. Welcome. And so I invite you, let's start this service by reading our mission statement that's on the front of your bulletin. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. That's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to move back into that place within us that knows, yes, indeed, we are spiritual beings, that we are outpicturings of that one infinite presence, that one divine source of life, of life itself, that our innermost being is of spirit, that we are spirit here in form. And if we are spirit in form, what that means then is that all the qualities and characteristics of the absolute already live within us. That peace is already within us. That love is already within us. That the truth of us is that we are whole, that we are magnificent, that we have intelligence. And so what happens then is, as we come to recognize that that is the very essence of who we are, then when we are out in the world and the world is not reflecting back to us peace or love or kindness or generosity or telling us that we are somehow less than, we aren't as dependent on the world giving that to us, because we can tap into it within us. And as we tap and we go, oh, the love is already here, or the peace is already here, and then we can bring that into the conversation, into the relationship, into the moment, thereby transforming what is happening in that relationship or in that conversation. It puts us in a place of power, and it also makes us a beneficial presence in this world, because we bring something to the world that is healing and that is beneficial to all. So I say thank you to each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing your spirit into this world, and for bringing the spirit into this world in a way that is beautiful and in a way that only you can do it. Thank you for that. Well, I don't know about you, but to me, one of the things that I find the most irritating that's going on in this country lately is our politicians' unwillingness to work with each other and to work across the aisle and to work across that political divide. Is that irritating to you? You know, it seems like rather than working for the common good of this country, they would rather be uncompromising. And as we all know, the results of that is stuckness and not moving forward and not having solutions to the problems. Well, I have a question for you. At the same time that that is so irritating, do you ever find yourself doing the same thing in your own personal life? Do you ever find yourself doing that same thing in your relationships or in your social circles? Do you ever find yourself being rigid in your thinking or inflexible in your thinking, thinking, I am right and they are wrong? Or do you find yourself being closed-minded, holding firmly to an idea that you hold that there is only one way or one correct answer and everything else is wrong? And I have another question for you. Is that the energy that you really want to experience and to live in, feeling like that, that kind of separation, that kind of angst? What if? There was actually more than one way to do something. You know, in my house, I find myself getting really irritated sometimes because my spouse doesn't do dishes the same way that I do. And I want to control it. And I want to control how those dishes are done and how they're stacked. And I think I've been told in my lifetime, if you want them done that way, then you need to do them. But what if there is more than one way? What if there is more than one right answer? What if there is more than one right solution? What if things really aren't black and white, but they are more than 50 shades of gray and all of the colors of the spectrum, and all of those perspectives are right, are correct in their own way? What if this life that we're living, this world that we're living in, isn't either or, but instead it's and both? What if multiple things can be true at the same time? And what if everyone has a right to their experience and to their feelings without negating anybody else's experience or anybody else's feelings, but that they can both be true at the same time without negating one or the other? What if they both can be valid without anybody being wrong? What if there's room for both of those experiences and both of those thoughts without comparison? You can think that cilantro tastes like soap, and I can think it's delicious. Both of those are correct, given that person's experience and perspective. What if you go on vacation, your spouse wants to lay by the pool, they think that's what vacation is about, and you want to go exploring because you think that's what it's about? Both of those are correct, given the perspective, and both of them can be done without negating one or the other. And just because somebody has cancer doesn't mean your flu is any less difficult. It just means somebody else has cancer and you have the flu, and they're both difficult experiences. Both things can be true at the same time, and they can coexist simultaneously without lessening the other one. You know, I think we can clearly see that in our own lives, that we have contradictory feelings, contradictory experiences, opposing feelings and experiences, like the fact that you could be grateful and resentful at the same time for all that is required to be a parent. Or like the fact that you could love your career and at the same time wish you could spend more time with your family. Or that you appreciate being able to work from home while at the same time feeling trapped in your routine. Those things coexist at the same time. And what about if you experience a devastating loss, like a death or divorce or breakup, and you can feel grief and relief at the same time? That you can feel sadness and gratitude at the same time? I think we've learned to accept those contradictory feelings and experiences inside of ourselves because we have learned that feelings aren't right or wrong, that instead feelings just are. So we can allow ourselves to have that full spectrum without one of them being right and one of them being wrong. Both and honors this full and complicated reality that we are living in, this full and complicated life that we are presented with. It honors that and allows for that. On a soul level, we really all want to come together. We all really want to live in unity. We all really want to find that common ground so that we can be in unity with each other. We really want to understand each other so that we can stand on common ground together. Because as you know, what happens in our understanding is our walls come down. In our understandings, our hearts become more tender. In our understanding, we move deeper into the relationship, deeper into ourselves, we feel more connected to that other person, and we, inside of ourselves, feel more loving when we understand another person. Mother Teresa reminded us, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Have you noticed that? In your judgment of someone else, you don't feel love for them. In our judgment that they are wrong and that we are right, our judgment says they are wrong, and that really translates to, and they are bad or somehow evil because of their perspective, because of their choices, because of their lifestyle, because of what they're doing that's different than what we do. And in turn, what happens is then our hearts slam shut like there's a metal case around our hearts, a steel trap. So you all have heard me tell stories about my next door neighbor, Al. Well, some years ago, when I was first couple years of living in my house, and I was watering my flower bed in the backyard, and for the several times he had done this, he got really mad at me and climbs up on the fence and shaking his finger, telling me that my water was going into his backyard. And I'm thinking to myself, for God's sake, it's water. What's the big deal? And this time was like the third time, and he was really angry about it. And I had learned this technique in a class that I'd gone to that said, when you're having a conflict with someone, to ask yourself, when do I feel like this person is acting? And I thought to myself, I feel like he's acting when I'm not being heard. He's not feeling heard. He's told me he doesn't want the water going into his backyard. And it shifted things for me. He feels like he's not being heard. I know what it's like when I feel like I'm not being heard. So I went out and bought bender board and put it along the property line at the bottom of the wooden fence so the water couldn't go out of my flower bed into his yard. It was solved. But it took me being willing to not be right, to not be stuck in my perspective, and to see someone else's perspective in order to be able to solve the problem, in order to be able to come to common ground, consensus, something that would work. Rumi tells us, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Our judgment builds those walls up between our love and anything else. Both and, rather than either or, both and creates breathing room for us to resolve or to solve the issues without judgment. So is there someone in your personal life right now that you are holding as wrong? Someone that you are in judgment toward? Someone that you feel like your heart has closed to because of that judgment? Would you rather live in that space, or would you rather be on common ground? Would you rather be in that space, or would you rather feel unity and feel peace around it? As human beings, I think we all really want to live on that place that feels like common ground. I think we want to find solutions to our problems and answers to our questions and resolve the places that feel like conflict. I think we want to create a world that works for us individually and that works for us collectively. You know, in Buddhism, they teach that the root of all suffering, dukkha, is attachment. Our attachment to things being the way that we want them to be and not being the way that we don't want them to be. And I would add to that, part of our suffering is created by our demand that we are right. We have also, in the society that we live in, we have been conditioned to believe that being right is more important than being curious. That being right is more important than being open. That being right is more important than being flexible or even growing. And so in turn, we defend our position, whatever it is. And so I'd like to share a story with you. It says, in 1954, the social psychologist Leon Festinger and two of his associates infiltrated a doomsday cult to find out what would happen when the leader's prophecy failed to be fulfilled. The leader had promised her followers that the world would end on December 21st, 1954, but that they would be picked up by a flying saucer and transported to safety at midnight on December 20th, the night before this was to happen. Many of her followers quit their jobs, gave away their houses, and dispersed their savings in anticipation of the end. Who needs money in outer space? Others waited in fear or resignation in their homes. Festinger predicted that the, quote, believers who had not made a strong commitment to the prophecy would quietly lose their faith in the leader when the world didn't end. And those who had given away their possessions and waited with the other believers for the spaceship would double down on their belief in her mystical abilities. He predicted, even if the prophecy did not materialize, the followers who lost the most would demonstrate their increased commitment by doing whatever they could to get others to join them. At the time, this hypothesis blew the doors off every existing theory about motivation and human behavior. It was unthinkable that people would double down once proven wrong. Do you know anybody in this world right now who is doubling down even though they've been proven wrong? By 4:45 a.m., when the spaceship was a no-show, their leader shared a new vision of the world. Because of their strong faith, they had been spared. As hypothesized by Festinger, the most invested members responded by calling the media with the great news, and they became even more invested evangelists for the group. The more we are invested in what it is that we are demanding is right, the harder it is to let it go, to admit that we were wrong, to be open to another possibility. And as you know, sometimes we are attached to old ideas and to old beliefs that we haven't really examined. Sometimes we are attached to our perspective or to our beliefs or to our mindset. Sometimes we are attached to positions and the way that we think or patterns of thinking. And often we are attached to the way that we grew up and the things that we learned and our conditioning. And all of those things might have validity and they might not. They might be based in the truth or they might not. And so here's the question. What if we shifted our values? What if we shifted our values and had a low attachment to I am right and they are wrong? Or to that there is one right way or one right answer? What if we had a low attachment to that? You are wrong, I am right. That is wrong, this is right. And what if instead we had a high investment in understanding? What if we had a high investment in learning? What if we had a high investment in understanding and learning about other people's thoughts, other people's perspectives, other people's conclusions? What if we had a high investment in deepening ourselves which is what happens when you bring in other information that you didn't have before and other perspectives. We broaden and deepen ourselves. Desmond Tutu said, if you want peace, don't talk to your friends, talk to your enemies. Because when we resolve or understand where they're coming from, we find peace. And so the title of my talk today is Meet You There. And I'm talking about that being open-hearted and open-minded helps us find our common ground with people. Being open-hearted and open-minded helps us move into unity with other people. And in turn, we are deepened and we grow. We find peace and we create a world that works for all of us. One of my favorite quotes from Rumi is, out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right-doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Out beyond ideas of right-doing and wrongdoing, that is where we feel our heart. In that field beyond right-doing and wrongdoing, that is where we experience our connection with each other. In that field beyond right-doing and wrongdoing is where we are one. In that field is where love heals and love transforms and heals our differences and heals our hearts in our understanding. But you know what? It requires spiritual maturity to be able to do that. It requires not living from your ego, but living in spiritual maturity. It means it requires letting go of your ego's need to be right long enough to hear another person's perspective. That's the most important thing I have to say here. It takes letting go of your ego's need to be right long enough to hear another person's perspective, to witness somebody else's inner experience, to witness their reality. It doesn't mean you have to change your mind. It doesn't mean you have to believe what they believe. It means you just have to be open enough to hear something else so your heart can come forward. And that doesn't mean also that you don't have any boundaries. It doesn't mean that you don't say no when you need to say no, or that you don't put your foot down, or that you let people abuse you. It just means it's a willingness to hear somebody else's perception, perspective, ideas, understandings of the world. Spiritual maturity also means that it requires that we lean into spirit in those times. And that we lean into our own spirit. Because when we lean into our own spirit and into the spirit, we know that life is for us. Even when this situation is challenging or difficult, life, with a capital L, is for us. That life is on our side. And when we lean into spirit, we know that we are safe in this moment. And that we are okay right here, right now. I think it takes remembering first and foremost that we are spiritual beings here living this life, growing and learning and unfolding our own greater yet to be and unfolding who we are, divinity in form. Spirituality invites us to let go of either or thinking and to embrace both and. Spirituality calls us to get our heels out of the ground that are stuck because we put our heels down so hard. To embrace the possibility of both. It requires, as we pull our heels out of the ground, to ask ourselves, what else might be true? And what else might be true? Say that with me. What else might be true? And say it again. What else might be true besides this one perspective I'm holding on to? What else might be true in this moment? In these times of divisiveness that we are living in our country, as well as the stuck places that we experience in our own lives, is inviting us to be open and curious. It's inviting us to be curious about other perspectives, other viewpoints, other possibilities, other options. So I think the invitation is to ask yourself, can both of these things be true? Given this person's perspective and life experience, given my perspective and life experience, can they both be true at the same time? That's living in paradox. That's living in the question. That's living with an open mind and an open heart. I think that the invitation is a willingness, just a willingness, to look for common ground. A willingness to hold the possibility that there is common ground. A willingness to be vulnerable and to change our minds, like the spaceship people still holding on, a willingness to change our minds, to change our position, to shift our perspective, even if it's just a little bit. The result of that is healing of our relationships, growth in our relationships. The result is a relief from the anxiety we feel over the division between us and them. The result is expansion and growth. In our unity, our spirit feels safe to come forward and express. In our unity, we get to come forward, our spirit comes forward so that we can experience our own divine nature. And in that unity, there's mutual gain for everyone. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of remembering who you are, of living from your spirit, and bringing that into the world in a way that is healing, in a way that is beneficial to you and to everyone that you come in contact with. Thank you again for answering the call of your own spirit to be a beneficial presence in your world. Blessings to you. And so I invite you, actually, I'm going to invite Dieter to come up here and pray with me. Let's do a tag team prayer. Dieter is a practitioner at large. You want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay, perfect.
Let us just take a deep breath and step into that field. Step into the knowingness that there is only one presence. So we step into that knowingness that the absolute energy of the divine flows in and around and through each one of us. So we take this message that Reverend Jennifer has provided us with to open ourselves to knowing both and. So right here and right now, I acknowledge that both and I am the divine expressing in this human form. And so I pass this now to Reverend Jennifer.
And so I recognize also that there is only one. One life, one power, one presence, one beingness that is living itself out as everything that we see, everything that is around us, everything that we experience is this presence in form. And not just everything around us, but that presence is the very core essence of who and what we are. And that as we live this life in our open-heartedness, in our open-mindedness, we bring that presence into this world in a fuller way. For it is in the safety and the safekeeping and the love of the divine that we are able to open our hearts and open our minds, recognizing that we are cared for from on high, and that in that care we are always safe. And so I know that the intelligence of the divine reveals itself to our minds in our openness, in our listening. For there is an intelligence that is far greater than what we understand at this moment. And in our opening, we get that. We understand that. We hear new perspectives and new ideas. And our love expands. Our connection with each other deepens. And peace becomes more fully palpable. And so I speak this word not just about us, but I speak this word about every single person on this planet, knowing that the infinite presence of love and light and goodness and joy and bountifulness is right where every person is, and that it is unfolding itself in their life as the meeting of every need, that it is revealing itself in every heart, in every mind, in every home, in every business as abundance. And as harmony in relationships, as a loving balm that heals, as a wisdom that guides. And not just all us ordinary people, but I speak this word also about every single politician, policymaker, decision maker, world leader, that the infinite intelligence and love of God is right where they are. And that intelligence that is so much grander than what they have already experienced or known is revealing itself through them as perfect solutions and perfect answers. For that intelligence is limitless. And that is unfolding itself. The love of the divine is unfolding itself through each one of them. As a care for humanity, a care for the whole, a care for this planet. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself all around us, simply because it is true and simply because we have said yes to this. And so I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is.
And so it is.
Thank you. You all don't know this, but we learn in practitioner training, when someone asks for prayer, you never say no. A couple of invitations for you as a way to participate in this family. We have an upcoming class that starts in a couple of weeks. It starts October 12th. It is a 6-week class, going to be on Thursday nights from 7, maybe, unless we do earlier. We might do it at 6:30, depends what everybody can do, 6:30 or 7 p.m., it's a 6-week class that's called Journey of the Soul. It focuses on identifying as your soul as you live this life. It includes opportunity for and practices of meditation, emotional healing, self-love, soul presence, and life direction. If you would like to take the class, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. The cost is $120 plus the book Magic of the Soul. Magic of the Soul that you can get on Amazon. We have prayer support after church. If you would like prayer, our practitioners, any of them are happy to sit down with you and pray. Will you raise your hand if you're a practitioner in this room? Any of them are happy to sit and pray with you if you would like prayer. There's a Ministry of Prayer box on the back table. You can fill out a prayer request, and we will support you during the week in prayer. We also have prayer shawls that have been created in that energy of prayer. And if you would like to take one with you or gift one to someone else to take with you and have that person or yourself wrapped in that energy of prayer, the practitioners are happy to pray over it for whatever your request is, and then you can take that with you and wrap it around yourself or give it to somebody else. Our Sunday talks are available on YouTube. We also invite you to follow us on Facebook and Meetup and Instagram. If you would like to be on our mailing list so that those land in your inbox and you get to know what it is that we're doing, there is a guest book on the table in the foyer. We invite you to fill that out. And so I invite you to repeat after me. The love and light of spirit are within me now.
Love and light of spirit are within me now.
I own it and I share it.
I own it and I share it.
I am it.
I am it.
I am a beneficial presence.
I am a beneficial presence.
And so it is.
And so it is.